Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thank you for listening to this podcast. There are many more podcasts available at myfaithradio.com. Your support makes this possible. Thank you. And a warm welcome to the afternoon show. I'm Bill Arnold, and I'm awfully glad it's Monday because I love Mondays. It's so nice to be back, and I'm looking forward to continuing a conversation I have with Dr. Andy Scuttinga. He was talking last time he was here about the importance of handling adversity well, and it seemed that there was more to it than that. He said we also have to learn how to better increase our stress tolerance. I thought, I think I know what he means by that, but maybe I don't. So I thought I better have him back on so we can discuss it. Andy, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me back. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, well, you know, when I was getting ready for this and doing what people call show prep, I was starting to write down words, and I put down words like resilience, overcomers, victors in Christ. And sometimes stress and anxiety, if we look at it well, we can see it as an opportunity versus something that debilitates or paralyzes.
Yeah, I think that's really well said, Bill. Particularly in public discourse today, I think we hear about stress as this terrible thing and anxiety as these terrible things. And while when they pile up and get to levels that are really tough to deal with, while that does happen, I think it's really important for us to look at stressful situations as opportunities to learn and to grow and to become better at things, to become stronger. Because, you know, that old adage, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. I think that's actually quite true for many people. And I would guess a lot of listeners could look back at a lot of stressful times in their lives where once it was done, they said, you know, I made it through that, and now I actually know how not to do that again, or now I'm better equipped to handle this sort of stressful situation in the future. And I think that's where we can see some real positive gains.
Yeah, Andy, I think you're so spot on with that. But is our default one that says more stress, more challenges, more difficulty, more paralysis, versus saying I'm going to do okay with my stress? I'm not going to let it overwhelm me. Because when I look at a verse like 2 Corinthians 4:8 that says, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, because it seems that the path to ongoing stress and anxiety is a point where people feel perplexed and in despair.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. I would guess, not guess, I mean, this is a pretty educated guess, obviously, but I think most people's default is probably the first one that you talked about. Or the second one you talked about. It's not a matter of, hey, I have a challenge. Now I'm gonna be stronger.
Right.
I think for many people, the first go-to response is, oh no, now I have more stress. And I think that's probably because most of us don't enjoy having stressful situations. You know, we're not looking forward to that sort of thing. But the mindset behind stress and stressful situations really can be, we can choose that. We can choose to have a mindset of growth and challenge when we run into things that are difficult in our lives. And I think a lot of it probably is tied just to our natural personality. When you know yourself well, that really helps in our stress response. When you know, hey, this is something I'm actually pretty good at handling versus I don't know what this is at all. So personality and experience, they both kind of tie in together to have an impact here.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Andy Scuttinga is my guest. He is a psychology professor at North Central University in Minneapolis. And Andy, when I started, I threw out a couple of words. I put out resilience, overcomers, victors in Christ. Maybe let's just go through some of these words, if you don't mind, because if we feel a lot of stress, we may start losing our resilience, and that's never a good thing.
That's correct. Yeah, resiliency is a really important tool in our toolkit. And unlike a hammer or a saw that you really can't make better, Resiliency in ourselves is a tool that we can definitely strengthen and sharpen. I suppose you can sharpen a saw. Okay, fair enough. But resilience is like emotional intelligence. If we make an effort to improve those things, we definitely can. That is, those are things that we can get better at. Partly just by thinking about them more often, but also partly through typical everyday life experience. It's kind of like reframing the situation for yourself, seeing your problems through a different lens and recognizing that, you know, God never promised us to have an easy life. He doesn't promise us that if you believe in me, all things will just seem way better. It doesn't really say that anywhere in the Bible, but it's pretty clear that we're supposed to grow and supposed to develop through these things as we put our faith in Jesus, as we put our faith in God. I think that helps us look at problems in a different light. Mm-hmm. And so resilience is part of that. It's recognizing that I can make it through anything, whether it's good or bad. I can get through anything because I have God on my side.
Yeah, that's the point I think definitely somebody needed to hear today. John 16:33 is a memory verse of mine. I love it. I've memorized it in a couple of different versions. The one version I really like is, in this world, you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world.
Yes.
NIV says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. You know, when you think about that, and I go, well, there you go. I've got confidence that I can get through all the trouble in this world because he has overcome it. And I follow him.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is absolutely true. I think that's a very powerful verse because Jesus himself is telling us, you're going to be okay. You're going to make it. And I love the part about be of good cheer. You know, I think we are always as human beings really impressed with people who handle difficult situations with maybe not a smile on their face, but with a more positive attitude. I love seeing students, for example. You know, I'm a college professor, so I deal with students all school year, and a lot of them are dealing with some pretty difficult stuff. Not all of them, but I love it when the students come to my office and they're able to talk about the positive things in their life that are going on alongside the difficult things in their life that are going on. You know, they have trouble with relationships, and yet they talk about how great their other relationships are. They talk about how, you know, struggling in school has drawn them closer to God because they've been forced to realize, I can't do this by myself. I need help. I need Christ in my life. I need God as my rock.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're able to vocalize that to me or to other faculty or staff, I think it's powerful for them. And it teaches them, A, I can be reliant on God, but also B, again, with the resilience, like you said, the word resilience, I can be resilient and I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
That's a beautiful and powerful thing.
Yeah, Andy, I love the fact that you said you liked the expression be of good cheer, which is a translation that I've memorized in John 16:33. And I think the reason I like be of good cheer is how often are Christians characterized as people of good cheer? Sometimes,
yeah.
I think we have somber expressions. We don't, you know, laughter is a wonderful thing, but it hardly helps if you don't access it and don't do it.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. There's a ton of research out there too that is very strong research. It's vigorous research that says laughter is really good for people. And
yeah.
Maintaining a sense of humor in any situation of difficulty is so important and so valuable, that being able to laugh and being able to find the ridiculousness in our situations throughout life is incredibly helpful. And it's very healthy to do because, again, we it helps us when we can laugh in the face of danger or in the face of trials. I think it does something really good for our soul.
Yeah. So we would probably consider that a very useful tool in terms of increasing our stress tolerance, where, you know, the old Jack in the Box little toy, that thing. You know, it's that little last half turn that makes the little clown pop out of the box. So, but there's everything that builds up to that point, and I think that's what we're not doing well, or what I could do better myself is to regulate that time so there isn't something that triggers me and sends me off.
Yeah. Yeah, that's if we go through life kind of like the Jack in the Box, like just waiting for the next thing to happen. I think I know when I talk to people about things like this, they sometimes have that attitude of, well, life is good now, but what's going to happen next?
Right.
And when's the next bad thing? And I would recommend that if, you know, anyone listening, if you have that kind of mentality and you know it, I strongly recommend you try to change that mindset, because all that does is increase your everyday anxiety and increases your everyday stress when you're constantly looking around the corner for that next bad thing. We kind of know there's always going to be something bad coming around the corner. We live in a simple, broken world.
Thanks, Andy. Real cheerful today. I was trying to make Monday kind of a happy day, and here you come.
Yeah, it sounds kind of counterintuitive, but yeah, I mean, we know that's coming. So why spend a whole lot of time worrying about what's coming next? It's okay to plan ahead, and I actually think it's healthy to say, you know, for us to think once in a while, okay, what happens if this bad thing happens? Well, then if we have kind of a plan in mind, that's actually good, because then we're planning ahead. But when you worry about it before it happens, that's where I think people get into trouble.
Mm-hmm. 1 Thessalonians 5 has a very powerful verse starting in 16 that says, rejoice always, pray continuously, give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So if you're trying to regulate your stress level, this is a very, very powerful verse to have hidden in your heart that you can always go to and say, how am I doing in this rejoicing, always pray continuously, and giving thanks in all circumstances? Not for all circumstances, but in all circumstances. Because I think that's almost like a, you know, the pressure cooker. It just lets some of the steam out.
Yeah. You know, I don't think God expects us to say, hey, God, thanks for allowing this really stressful thing to happen so that I can grow. I don't think that's what he's looking for. But I think having a mindset of, okay, what can I gain from the situation? What can I learn? How did I end up in this spot? You know, if you get rear-ended on the highway or on the street, there's, you know, it's pretty tough to look at yourself and say, what could I have done differently? You know, moved ahead 3 feet? No, probably not. But what can I do, or what can I gain from this situation? Maybe it's getting another part of your car repaired. Maybe it's time to retire the car, and this is your opportunity to do so, right? There's always something that I think we can find that can be gained even through the direst of circumstances.
Yeah. I'm curious as to how you deal with your stress and how you try to keep it low. So if you have a way that you do it, maybe you'd be willing to share, and we can spread your wisdom with everyone who's tuned in today. So you could maybe text a couple of sentences as to how you increase your stress tolerance. So you kind of stay more even keel, and you're not up and down all the time, and you're not letting stress take over in your life, and you are being resilient, and you're also feeling like I'm an overcomer and I'm a victor because of how I go about my life. So if you've got some wisdom for us, would you please text it over, because we'd love to share it with everyone today. 877-933-2484. Again, 877-933-2484. My guest is Dr. Andy Scuddinga. He's a psychology professor, and we're going to take a break and be right back in just a minute.
Hi, it's Bill Arnold, host of The Afternoon Show. Revelation chapter 5 tells us our prayers are stored in bowls of gold in heaven, and when we pray, it is like a sweet-smelling aroma to the Lord, all to say our prayers are precious to God. And we wonder sometimes if God is hearing our prayers and if he cares. Well, the answer to those two questions are yes and yes. Start by praising Him by reading His Word, by submitting to Him in prayer, and He will bring you peace and comfort. Connecting Faith to Life, Faith Radio.
I'm back with Dr. Andy Scudinger. We're talking about increasing your stress tolerance. We all have stress anxiety. Boy, I've heard that more and more and more here at Faith Radio, people calling in or texting in with a lot of real heaviness, and they're figuring out, asking better ways to navigate some of the stress and anxiety. It seems to be a topic that has risen in the ranks. I mean, it used to be something that we didn't talk about. Now we talk about it more than usual, and I think it all started possibly as far back as 2020 when COVID hit and people were finding themselves a little more isolated and less connected. And now it still takes some time to get back into the rhythm of a different, better lifestyle, and making sure that we're connecting in community, we're seeing people face to face, we're enjoying good eye contact and a hug and some laughter. And I know that makes a big difference. So, Andy, let's talk a little bit about maybe just the ABCs of stress tolerance. My guess would be they would be food, sleep, and exercise.
Yeah, I think those are really good places to start. I will tell you right now, I am no food expert. The psychology of food is a fascinating thing.
Yeah.
And what it has to do with stress actually is important for most people to realize, you know, food probably isn't as big a cause of stress unless you are food insecure. Obviously, that's hugely stressful. But I don't think most of our listeners are probably food insecure. But food can get you into trouble as a response to stress.
True.
That can be a really unhealthy way to handle stress, by overeating or eating certain types of foods that are particularly unhealthy. Even people with significant eating disorders often start with significant stress and anxiety, and that can lead to food food issues for sure.
Mm-hmm. Let me point a listener just said, I was diagnosed with cancer at the beginning of the year and found out last week that surgery removed it all. Praise God for that.
All right.
It was a very challenging time, but I know how my story ends. So I took it one day at a time and trusted God completely. He showed His works to me almost every day in little events.
That is fantastic. I love hearing that.
Oh, yeah, me too. Here's another comment about there's major stress, Andy, about how people treat me in my work situation. So I ask for prayers that God will move me even to a different geographic area with a different job. So that's very stressful.
Yeah, that would be incredibly hard to deal with every day for sure.
So, I mean, how does someone like this listener say, I need to deal with my stress tolerance, because right now I'm dealing with it every day? And what, I don't know, I know you're not like a counselor or professor, but what would be your read on how we could help this listener like today?
I think it would be very important to take a look at the negatives and the positives in the situation that you're in. I think it'd be really important to look at, what are the things about my job that I do enjoy? What are the pieces of my daily experience? What are those things that I actually can look forward to? And if there's literally nothing, then my advice is to make an aggressive move towards seeking out new employment and a new place to work, and, and just be very, very aggressive about that and use that as something to look forward to every day. Or obviously you can't look for a job during your work day maybe, but you know, looking ahead and again, trusting God that there's a different plan out there for you. Or maybe God is trying to teach you something about how you connect with your coworkers. You know, one of the things that you can do as a response to stress and increasing your stress tolerance is staying connected with other people that you have friendships with. but also trying to make new friends. You know, are there people at your workplace that you don't know well, that you maybe could connect with, or maybe you could take a step on your own to say, there are people who I don't know well. Maybe there's something there that we can share in terms of our experience or things that we can look forward to. You know, it's tough to give, you know, super concrete advice, not knowing the situation. You know, if you're in a workplace with three people, that's going to be obviously way different than if you're in a workplace of 50 or 100, where you're not going to know everybody well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, make sure to take time for yourself during that stressful day to meditate. You know, if you're in an open office area, that's harder to do, but maybe find a place in your work area where when you have breaks, you can just go be by yourself. You can pray, you can meditate, you can ask God for maybe a revelation of who is somebody that you could connect with.
Mm-hmm. Andy, when you say the word meditate, I know there's enough people that go, ooh, what do you mean by that? When I hear you say the word meditate, because I know you and I know your heart, it's like when you can get some time where you can get some of the noise out of your head and just be focused on whatever God is revealing to you. Maybe it's something you studied in your quiet time that morning. Maybe it's something where you reflect on Romans 12:2, where you say, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So if I'm going to sit and think about that verse, in my world, that's what I would call meditating. Am I in agreement? Are we in agreement on that, or do you have something else in mind?
No, that's exactly what I'm talking about. I realize I grew up in my church. Meditation was something that, you know, like hippies from California would do before they smoked marijuana, you know, something like that. And there's a huge, huge benefit to spiritual meditation. And meditation is really it's not just some sort of Eastern medicine type of practice. Meditation is something that anyone can do, focusing on, like you said, a Bible verse, focusing on words like shalom or peace, or just kind of centering your focus on who God is in your life. And, you know, it doesn't need to be anything long. I mean, you can do this for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, where you just take some deep breaths and focus your body and focus your mind on listening to God or seeking out peace. And it can be saying the same word over and over again, or it can be saying a verse over and over again, and then just being quiet and allowing God to speak into you. And sometimes, you know, maybe God doesn't say anything, and that's okay, because then you're just feeling a sense of peace and understanding that you are in God's hands, you belong to him, and this will pass.
Yeah.
And whatever it is you're dealing with, it will pass.
Now, Andy, I'm a little bit older than you, but I do remember the idea when I first heard about the word meditation. It was always associated with the people that want to get quiet and open their mind. And I thought, I don't want to open my mind, because who knows what might come in. I want to get my mind focused on the Word of God and focus on maybe a verse or trying to get in a place where I can hear God's quiet voice.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Meditation is not so much about floating into the ether.
Good. And, glad you said that.
You know, hoping that something good happens. No, you can almost call it a state of hyper-focus on something that's very specific.
Yeah.
And when it's focusing on God, when it's focusing on the goodness of Jesus, that can do some really great things for you. There's a lot of research that points to this as a particularly helpful spiritual practice.
Yeah. I've got an app on my phone that is a Bible audio app, and you can pick a verse, or you can pick a chapter or a book, or you can pick whatever you want, and you can hit the repeat button. So it might repeat the same chapter over and over, or it might repeat the verse over and over, and you can set a timer for, you know, 10 minutes to an hour, where for the next 15 or 20 minutes, I may just have Psalm 103 go over and over and over and over when I'm laying there at 1 a.m. not being able to sleep. And I think that's the time when I can feel like I'm really hyper-focused, like you said, because that's when I'm just laying there going over the verse, what every word means, what every verse means, and just kind of marinating in the power of that verse. And then next thing you know, I'm kind of back to sleep.
Yeah, I think that's a fantastic example of how our minds can be kind of calmed down, and how that stress can melt away when we're focusing on the right things. I think that's a super example.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Andy Scudding is my guest. If you have a way that you overcome your stress, I mean, just to bring your tolerance down a little bit, where you feel stress is okay, it helps you keep motivated and keeps you moving, but you just don't want it to spill into the super negative area where you're thinking, I'm just feeling overwhelmed, or you get a little bit paralyzed, or you get, you know, debilitated and you can't get things done. But if you do have a method or something that you do that helps you with your stress, let me know what it is. I'd love to share your wisdom with everyone else today. 877-933-2484. Again, 877-933-2484. We're always better when we share these kinds of ideas in community. We always want to encourage one another, build each other up. So I feel like this is maybe a great opportunity to share some of the wisdom that you have and let others know what you do, because I know it is making a difference in your life. So let us know. Again, 877-933-2484. I'll take a short break and be right back with Dr. Andy Scudding.
It's the Afternoon Show with Bill Arno. Prime time, drive time, let's get it started. Jump in your car, what's for dinner? It's the Afternoon Show with Bill Arno.
I'm glad to be talking to Dr. Andy Scudding today. We're trying to figure out ways we can all improve our stress tolerance, because there's plenty of it in the world. There's plenty of it in our everyday lives. And there's lots of it going on all around us with loved ones, and we're just wanting to come along and be a loving, supportive friend and person in someone's life who is filled with stress, and helping ways to increase that stress tolerance so they don't boil over. We want to be resilient. We want to be overcomers. We want to be victors in Christ. We want to see stressful things as an opportunity, that something that doesn't slow us down or debilitate us or paralyze us. And we're talking today about just ways we can improve that. So there's been some nice messages coming in. If you've context how you deal with your stress, I think it will be great to share your wisdom with everyone. 877-933-2484. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So sometimes an overwhelming amount of stress makes you want to give up, Andy. That's not good.
No, it's not. And I'll tell you this. I am, every semester, I am not impressed, inspired. That's the word I was looking for. I'm inspired by the students that I'm able to work with and serve as a professor, because it's serving students, right? But that mentality of service also helps us maintain a higher level of stress tolerance, you know, recognizing that we're serving people. But I'm inspired by my students often, by their response to stressful situations. And granted, some of my students put themselves in those stressful situations by, failing to do their homework until the last minute. And then all of a sudden they've got three major things due on Friday and it's Thursday afternoon. And, you know, they ask for an extension. And I usually say no, because it's important for them to learn, not a lesson, but to learn how to handle these things well. And I'm so inspired by many of them recognizing it and saying, I put myself here. I'm going to do it. You know, I'm going to complete this task. I'm going to do it well. And they do. And I think that that builds strength within each of us when we're able to look at situations like that.
Mm-hmm. Andy, a listener jumped in on a kind of therapy where you almost look at your life as a stage production, recognizing recurring characters and naming them. And that helps take away their power. So when you name these characters, the characters are the negative thoughts. So you don't feel quite as consumed by it. You just go, well, this is a recurring character that shows up in my life.
I love that idea.
All right.
Because what it does is it actually puts some of the control back into the hands of the person who's dealing with the stress. And if we're honest with ourselves, how much of our stress is caused by a lack of control in situations?
Probably a lot, I'm guessing.
It is. I mean, it's a huge amount. There's, you know, we go back to the person who's got issues at work, and they just, the caller or the listener who was talking about the immense amount of stress at work.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that they're causing that, but I'm saying, look at the lack of control you have in a situation like that. You're dealing with a bunch of other people that you, unless you're the ultimate boss, you don't have control over them. Or look at negative things that happen to us. We really can't control when we get some serious type of illness or maybe an injury, or you're in a car accident. That's not your fault. There's tons of things that happen to us every day that we have no control over. And that's, I think that adds to stress for most people when there's nothing you can do other than react.
Yeah. So another listener said that we have not seen answered prayer.
Yeah.
So we're trying to focus on one day at a time, trusting Jesus, and think of Job and how he praised God. So that's a beautiful, mature approach, which in my humble opinion, they're doing a fairly nice job of dealing with their stress tolerance. Because even though prayer has not been answered in the way they had hoped, they're focusing on just one day at a time, which is exactly, I think, what God asks us to do.
I completely agree. And I think the Bible has plenty of examples of that, where we're not called to think about the future all the time, and we're not called to live in the past all the time. We're made for being in the moment. And I think that's why some of the more successful therapy models for people who are dealing with mental health issues help you focus on the here and now rather than being consumed by the past. The past is important. Obviously, it shapes who we are, but there's nothing we can do about it. You can't change it. And so focusing on what we're doing today, you know, God talks about the clothing of the lilies of the field, right? Mm-hmm. Where, hey, if I can dress them this beautifully and they're just these non-sentient things that really are just there. You know, they're not saving lives. They're not talking to people every day. if God does that for the plants, right?
Yeah.
What he does for us is so much more. And I don't think that there's anything in the Bible that says always be focused on 10 years in the future. I don't think there's anything that suggests that. I think being present in the day that we're in and taking things one day at a time.
Yeah.
And looking to the future is not bad, but focusing on it all the time and worrying about it all the time, that can become, you know, an unhealthy obsession for some people. And I love that response about praying like Job for, you know, patience and understanding and waiting. And that's really hard to do.
Luke chapter 1, verse 37 says, and I think this is another great memory verse for people who are dealing with stress and they want to figure out a way to navigate their stress and keep it down, is for no word from God will ever fail. Luke 1:37, I'll repeat it. For no word from God will ever fail. Boy, that will help bring your stress down.
Yeah, that's really true. And it puts the rest of the Bible into perspective for us too, doesn't it?
Oh yeah.
You know, we can read all the self-help books that we want. And those are great. I really believe that. I think there's a ton of literature out there that's really helpful for people. But in the end, the ultimate authority, again, is the Word of God, because it will never fail. When you're looking for advice on what to do and how to live your life, that's the first and last place to go.
Mm-hmm. Andy, one thing I don't think we've even done this hour, and I want to apologize, is I've talked about stress tolerance, and I never really asked you to define it. But maybe I will try and you can respond. How's that?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay. Stress tolerance would be somehow the ability to stay composed or focused when you're faced with incredible life difficulties. How'd I do?
I think you did pretty well.
Okay. Add, subtract, yeah, I mean, whatever you want.
Well, yeah, I mean, tolerance in itself is being able to put up with something, right? You can be tolerant of loud noise. You can be tolerant of lactose. I mean, there's all kinds of things that we are tolerant of. You know, if you have children, you know you have to build tolerance to noise and you know, all kinds of things like that. And stress is, I mean, that's a wide-ranging thing, but in general, you know, stress is just simply defined as things that cause us discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to be comfortable with stress, you know, is kind of a goal, is just being able to say, I'll be okay. And that just that in itself can reduce stress for many people, realizing this isn't going to destroy me. It's not going to kill me. It might make my life harder for a short or even a long amount of time, but I will get over it. And that's that. Just having a mindset that doesn't allow stress to overwhelm you is a huge bulwark against overwhelming stress.
Yeah. Andy, I'm going to suggest, and you tell me what you think about this. If you're going to have a healthy stress tolerance, which means I'm doing okay, my guess is you are going to be willing to ask for help from others and not be overly independent.
Yeah, that is exactly right. And obviously, let's look at this in two different ways. Obviously, you want to just rely on God for stress tolerance in all situations and in asking for help. I mean, I don't want to gloss over that. The first place we should go for stress relief is God, obviously. But to your point, Bill, asking for help it's incredibly important.
Oh, is it ever?
And I think many people, it's so easy to say, well, ask for help, right? And I think a lot of people who are under a lot of stress, they say, well, who do I go to? I mean, who am I going to ask for help? I can't afford therapy. I don't want to go. I'm embarrassed, so I don't want to talk to my pastor or my spouse or my significant other or a friend. I don't want to bother them. There's a lot of good reasons why people don't ask for help. But those are also, you can also say, well, those are excuses for covering up your own shame and embarrassment. And I would encourage anybody who's looking at their problems and saying, well, I don't want to bother anybody. I would ask you this, is that true that you don't want to bother anybody? Or is it your pride that is getting in the way of you asking for help?
Or you're afraid of looking weak. And so you're feeling maybe some guilt or some shame for needing help, or maybe even you need rest. And by not admitting to that, all it does is it's piling on more stress.
Yes. It's just exacerbating the problem that you have. And believe me, I can empathize with anybody who says, well, I don't want to bother anybody. That is a weak spot for me. When I have stuff that I'm dealing with, I want to fix it myself, because it's embarrassing to admit, I totally messed this up.
Yeah.
I will do whatever I can in my power to fix the situation myself before I have to ask for help. And I've made situations much worse by doing that, instead of just being honest and saying, you know what, I blew it. I'm going to need some help figuring this out.
Yeah. All right. Andy, here's a wonderful comment. I deal with stress in several ways. Meditating on scriptures a half hour in the morning and again at night. My men's core group, hitting the gym, being involved in ministry, and listening to shows like mine.
Hey, that's a pretty good list of stuff to do.
In that order. Maybe you'd reverse that order.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean, Andy?
Oh, yeah.
Just like start with... Well, no, start with scripture. That's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think you should listen to your show first. And then,
you said it, not me. All right. And Wyatt's shaking his head like, oh, you've gone off the edge. All right. So here's another great comment. I'm in recovery from codependency. God asked me recently, who is on the throne in your heart and mind? I had to admit it was often something or someone other than God that consumed my thoughts. Repenting and refocusing on the Word of God has helped me, and listening to Faith Radio has helped me as well.
That's awesome. Yeah, Bill, I love it when you ask for the wisdom of the collective of listeners, because I'm guessing there's 100 other people right now listening saying, oh, I've got a good answer for that. And they're driving, or they're unable to, they don't have the wherewithal at the moment to text in or to send a message in, because there's something beautiful about asking for help. Right. And that's many times our friends and family, neighbors and loved ones can say, oh, you know what? I've dealt with that too. And here's how it went for me. Here are the mistakes that I made. Here are the things that I did that were really wise. Here's help that I got from somebody else. Let me help you. Let me pray for you. Let me lift you up. There's so much to gain from sharing our burdens with other people, not so that they carry them for us, but so that they can maybe give us better tools to carry ourselves. And maybe in some cases they can carry our burdens for us.
Yeah.
Jesus talks about, give me your yoke. My burden is easy and yours is not, because I'm God and you're not.
Right.
And I think that's something that we can also model and do for one another.
Yeah, we'll take a little break. We'll be right back with Dr. Andy Scudding as we're talking about stress tolerance. And thank you for the great messages that have come in. If you have one, 877-933-2484 as to how you deal with stress. Be right back. If you'd like to know more about what it means to begin a relationship with Christ, or to chat with someone about it, just text the word FAITH to 41224.
It's the Afternoon Show with Bill Arno. Prime time, drive time, let's get it started. Jump in your car,
yay!
What's for dinner?
Hey!
It's the Afternoon Show with Bill Arnold.
We are talking about stress tolerance today, and we all have stress and anxiety, but what are we doing about it? That's what we all want to know. That's why we're asking for each other's help. And if you have a way in which you go about stress tolerance, let me know how you confront stress. How do you keep the engine running at a nice, even temperature so things don't get disproportionately out of place? Dr. Andy Scudding is my guest. Andy, I love this. There's so much wisdom in Proverbs. So I love thinking of Proverbs. Like, for example, 4:26 says, give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Now, I always think to myself as I'm putting my shoes on in the morning, I'm thinking to myself, be careful where your feet go, because where your feet go is where the rest of your body is going to be.
True. Man, that's a great verse. Being steadfast.
Yeah.
It's all over the Bible. I mean, that word in itself, depending on your translation, but that word steadfast is pretty frequently mentioned in the New and the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Yep.
And that idea of being steadfast, I think, is like you said. I really like the engine analogy that you just used. You know, when we're humming along at whatever miles per hour, and your car is just kind of rolling, right? That's that steadfast feeling of I'm getting somewhere, I'm making good time. And when you're racing your engine and it's redlining, that's stress, right? That's your body and your mind cranking up in action, and stress produces cortisol, which is kind of a destructive chemical in your body. It's useful, like when you're in trouble or when you need to make a quick plan of action, cortisol increases and your body reacts to it. But when you have too much cortisol, it's like revving your engine on red for hours at a time. Yeah. It damages the engine.
Yeah, not good. When we think of remain steadfast, I also love 1 Corinthians 15:58. That says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Mm-hmm. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain.
Right.
So stand firm. Let nothing move you. Andy, I'm just preaching all this to myself. You know that, don't you? I mean, because you can't really talk about it with any confidence until you first preach it to yourself, because you know there's enough stress going on all the time that if you don't apply these amazing biblical principles in your own life, you have no business talking about it to anybody else.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, that's why some of our best leaders and teachers and thinkers are people who are not 23. They're usually older because they've experienced a lot in life. And there's, you know, there's a lot of wisdom in listening to our elders and paying attention to people who have kind of been there and done that. Because even if they made a huge mistake, if they survived it, they can tell you about it. And we can learn from that for sure.
Yeah, well, Andy, you're not referring to me as your elder, are you? Because I'm trying not to take this personally.
Well, I mean,
I am older than you.
You know, but nobody sees us on the radio, right?
So, for now, anyway. All right, let me look at a verse two that jumps out, because I've been thinking about this one as well. In Psalm 86, verse 11, it says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name." Because if your heart is divided, I think there is a big reason for additional stress.
Absolutely. You know, what about the, you know, if your stresses are about money, for example, and not that you don't have enough, it's the stresses of, I need to have more.
Well, what if you don't have enough? That's a serious problem for people listening.
It is a serious problem.
Yeah.
And that's not something that should be ignored. And that is highly stressful.
Highly stressful, yes.
Not having enough is deeply stressful for people. And yeah, I think that's fortunately, you know, most listeners, most Americans have enough to survive. But for those who don't, it's deeply stressful.
Yeah. Another comment that came in was, I turn on praise songs on the internet, on YouTube, because it's very helpful because I can actually see other worshipers and I can join them.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me tell you, Bill, there's a colleague of mine here. His name is Dr. Jeffrey Layton, has done some brain research on something very interesting. He took a look at what the brain does for very anxious people with higher levels of anxiety than is, you know, considered to be normal. And he had them do different kinds of prayers. And guess which prayer literally in real time reduced anxiety?
I don't know. What is it?
Prayers of adoration.
Oh, okay.
Prayers of praise. Praising God, adoring God. That was the one prayer that reduced feelings of anxiety. And these are people who are suffering from chronic anxiety, not, hey, I've had a pretty rough day, I'm going to listen to a nice song. These are people who are feeling heavy levels of anxiety all the time. And when they prayed prayers of adoration, their brain would quiet.
That's really good.
And it's remarkable stuff. And so we're going to be doing more of those studies here at school over the next few years is our hope. You know, that's stuff that we can literally point to and say, hey, world, look what happens when you believe in a God and you praise a God that's real and powerful. You don't have to even ask him for results. They happen by praising him. That's a powerful thing.
Andy, I think it's worth saying, as we are closing out this last minute, that this has been a lesson in stress tolerance and managing stress, because at 2 minutes before we started this interview, you thought you were on from 5 to 6 instead of 4 to 5. And so you're not in studio, you're on the phone in your office, but you didn't know 90 seconds before the interview started that you were on. Now, granted, you were ready to be on from 5 to 6, but we had to kind of manage that little stress today. So you did a great job. So thank you for being here as you know, as last minute as it was.
it turned out pretty good. Thankfully, I'd done, as you said, show prep.
A
little earlier today. Right. But that was, by the way, that was completely my fault, in case anyone's wondering.
Don't worry. It was a good way to end talking about the prayer of adoration, because our next hour with Ken Samples is on the importance of prayer. Dr. Andy Scudding has been my guest this hour. We're going to take a break and be right back with hour two. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.